Said what you had to say, but I think of beauty.
From the heart of Discord, here on five separate webcams, it is Podzilla After Dark here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. What's up, guys? Listening around the world and live on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Thank you for joining us for another exciting episode that is surely going to be memorable in the best ways. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, if you're here in the live chat and you can see us all on webcam, or if you're listening after the fact on Podzilla1985.com, we have with us the co-owner of Podzilla 1985, my good friend, Jesse Kimball.
Me.
Clap your hands.
We're not clapping hands. Also with us tonight, we've got, of course, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
Finger snaps.
Shelby Jackson here with us again this week. Shelby Chan.
Hi.
Hello.
The man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Shannon's a bitch.
All right. And horse mouth regular, Kazman Casper.
Hello, humans.
The Kazman Casper. So we're continuing our experiments live on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Jesse, I need you to confirm to me that that is actually a thing and I haven't really been sending people to the wrong place.
What a thing?
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Is that our Facebook page?
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'm not a liar. Thank you. You say what? What do you say, bitch?
I was about to say I'm the one that made it, so I should fucking know, but you.
I'm the one that changed the URL.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember one day I woke up and suddenly I had an invitation to be a member of the podcast I created on Facebook.
Wouldn't pull a fucking trigger. So
we already had a Facebook page.
No, we did not.
Blogzilla had a Facebook page.
Facebook.
You might remember this antique.
Oh,
I forgot about that. Those were the days.
Lindsay killed it. She's a murderer.
Blogzilla went the way of Pen and Nerd.
That's true. Maybe it'll come back. Print is dead. Podcasts are dead. That's why we're doing the live video now. So we have a couple things to talk about tonight. First off, I have something I just want to discuss. And I don't want to do the serious discussion first, or do I want to do the fun discussion? Which one was it? David, you were on Blogzilla 1985. Thank you for your contributions. We'll get the serious ones out of the way real quick. That being that I myself and Lindsay as well have had a really rough week. We've had a very rough week. We, aside from my own personal drama from last week, we'll push that aside, woke up Saturday to some very depressing news. First off, I want to mention that longtime journalist icon, talk show icon, Larry King passed away. And I didn't get to talk about this at all on anything because we really haven't done any shows where that would be a topic we would bring up, but Larry King was someone I very much like looked up to and respected. I mean, the dude was like the king of talk shows, even though his talk show was very different than your Conan O'Brien and your, you know, late nights, stuff like that. He basically did what I want to do, where you interview people, you talk about the news, you talk about current events and politics, and he was the best at it. So if you're gonna try to emulate someone, aim high, and there's nobody higher, I think, than Larry King. So very sad that Larry King passed away. But I think he was what? How old was he? 306, I want to say.
No, that's how many wives he had.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Tanner. And then more personally, Lindsay and I, we share a cat that we've had since, well, I had it before I ever met her, and we've had this cat for, God, 17, 18 years. Yeah. And unfortunately on Saturday, she had been getting sicker. Lindsay took her to the vet, and unfortunately they did have to put her to sleep. And it was literally one of the hardest things that I've ever gone through. For those of you that were there, which are three of you that are on the show, it was extremely hard for all of us. I have never cried that hard in my life. I literally thought I was going to pass out. But a lot of people reached out to me. I reached out to Lindsay with support and want to thank you guys for everything. It means a lot. We're still dealing with it. We're still trying to recover from it. So, you know, but thank you for the kind words. And then my car broke down, but we got that fixed. $500 later, we got that fixed.
Which was more than half the cost of the car in the first place.
Remember right? Yes. Yes. I paid $800 for that car. And within the first few months, I paid $400 in repairs because I had accidentally run over a milk crate that was out in Lindsay's parking lot. So I didn't know it was there. And I just ran right the fuck over. And we had to pay on that. So officially now, we've paid more in repairs than we've paid for the car.
Yeah.
So
I'm approaching that with the truck if it makes you feel better.
Oh, I know. When I went to go talk to Mr. Spees about it, he mentioned to me, he was like, yes, I wish Jesse had come to me with that truck before he bought it. I wish he had talked to me before he bought it. And I thought, yeah, I feel really bad for Jesse because he was so excited about that truck. And I feel like you've had nothing but trouble so far.
I mean, like, I still like the truck a lot. And in fairness, like, I'm still in the territory of it was a good deal. I'm just quickly moving away from that.
As long as nothing else goes wrong at this point, maybe you okay?
That's all we can hope for.
What year is your truck?
06.
And Shannon, your car?
I think it's like a 42. It's old. There you go. It's old. It's a 2000.
You have to get out and crank it on the front to get it going.
I do. Well, Lindsay pushes me, and I put the sail up, and then Then I go.
So you wouldn't have these problems if you had the Oshero still.
Oh, man. Did I ever tell you what happened to the Oshero?
Yeah. I heard your brother like ramped it onto the tracks and it's pretty much split in two.
I assume he probably traded it for meth for all I know.
That probably too. That thing lasted. That thing had over like 200,000 some odd miles.
That was like my summer is me and you working on that car to get it going.
Yeah, but we didn't have to pay $500.
No, we did not. Also, I'm curious in the live chat, Michaela said, I don't know if anyone saw what Piers Morgan said about Larry King about when he passed away, but I thought it was rude. I actually don't know what it is. Michaela, what did he say? I'm curious about that. And I don't remember where I was going with this rant. Other than it's been a difficult week. I think the motherfucker of the week is, I don't know, life.
Life has a habit of being a real motherfucker.
Life is a motherfucker, man. And life.
Oh, the Canyonero.
I'm going to go back and quote Soul and say, we're not in the business of crushing souls here. That's what Earth is for.
And it's a bitch of a ride. My rant. Here's my rant. When we got the serious stuff out of the way, this is my rant. So I was at the store today, and a gentleman, a friend of mine named Bryant, came in. And we were discussing things. We got into some pretty deep discussion about life and all this. But the thing that sticks out to me the most is we got in a discussion about when it is appropriate to use Japanese language or Japanese mannerisms in everyday situations. Because we had watched a cringe video a couple of days ago with Ethan. And it was one of those.
It wasn't just the SNL skit?
No, but it was in the same vein. It was that anime, that weeboo cringe of people, usually white, who take their love of anime in Japan so far that it's just embarrassing. And Brian and I had this discussion about it, about it. You know, he's like, well, if you go to a Japanese restaurant, is it okay to use chopsticks? I'm like, of course it is. That's different. You're honoring, you know, what you're honoring the culture. You're using what they use. You're at their restaurant and all that. My problem is with like the people that, especially they mix their Japanese in with their English when they speak to other English American people. And it came up. I remember now how it came up. It came up because we were watching Godzilla stuff and it was a list of the top monsters and they called all of the monsters on the list kaiju. And I said, I find that very irritating because kaiju is just the Japanese term for giant monster. Not every giant monster is from Japan. In fact, they didn't even do it first. King Kong was out way before Godzilla was out. I think King Kong was, what, 33? And Godzilla was 54? So the Japanese don't have the, like, the rights to the giant monster genre. So the fact that we have adopted calling all giant monsters kaiju irritates me. Like, just call them monsters because that's what they are. In Japan, it's okay to call them kaiju because that is the word for giant monster. But you're from fucking America, so you use fucking English when you talk about giant monsters.
Wait, so speaking of that,
it
name, just
it shortens it. Okay. You can call it, you know, kaiju instead of giant monster. If you just say monster, then they don't know if you're talking about a big one or if you're talking about, you know, Dracula.
I would love to see a movie with giant Dracula. Yes. For the record, where
what was that movie some time back that had the giant monsters that was coming through a rift and
Pacific Rim?
Robots? Yes, didn't they call that kaiju?
They literally called them kaiju in that film, and I think that's really yeah. I don't know if that's where it really took off.
Sorry, Jesse, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
there you go. I was
Yes, Melissa. Hold on, we'll get to your comments in a second. I'm not done ranting. And then the kaiju argument went to, I know people. And Lindsay knows people, and I'm pretty sure Jesse and Shelby know people, and maybe Kaz and Tanner know people that are big fans of the Japanese culture, and will even go so far, because it's happened to me, where someone I know that likes anime and stuff will call me Shannon-chan or Shannon-kun, and they don't do it ironically. They do it unironically. Like, it's sincere. And I don't know why it drives me crazy. Like, we have such an issue with co-opting other people's cultures. Exactly. We have such a problem with that when it's, you know, like the African American community or Latin community. So I don't understand why we can just almost make it a parody of them when we talk about like our love of anime and the Japanese culture. And in fact, most people in Japan don't act like that. They don't act like these cringy fucking weebs. And it bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it bothers me.
Tanner, I also don't know why it bothers you so much.
Owning up.
Oh yeah, because you're all guilty.
That's just something that kind of happens with culture in general. Like, it's, yeah, culture appropriation can be a problem, but, you know, we're also a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll admit, I use the word chibi a lot.
I find it almost insulting. Just,
like, pointing out things that are small.
Tanner, I got you in a second.
I just want to bring up the fact that you're having this rant, yet every time Shelby's on an episode, you call her Shelby-chan.
That's accurate.
Yeah, but I do it ironically because I'm making fun of Chris Chan. I don't do it because I legitimately call people like Tanner Chan and Tanner Kun.
No, I understand that, but I'm not I wanted to bring it up so you could clarify for.
Okay, and then Bryant asked me, he's like, "Have you ever told somebody sayonara when you say goodbye?" And I said, "No, I say goodbye or goodnight. I don't say oyasumi nasai or anything like that. I say goodnight, goodbye, good afternoon." Because if I were speaking to a Japanese person who spoke Japanese, maybe, if that would help our language barrier. But in general, I'm not going to mix it all in. And maybe that's just me. Like I said, this is just my rant. I've been wrong before, but not this time.
Have you ever said hasta la vista?
Baby? What, Cass?
Be careful where you
I know you said lines. Adios.
Like, muchacho.
Yeah, I say adios all the time.
Like, it's not necessarily I wouldn't really deem that culture appropriation because that would imply that no one is allowed, that's not in the culture, to use that language.
Are you saying I'm gatekeeping?
I wouldn't say you're gatekeeping.
Not gatekeeping, no. But the implication, you have to make sure you define a line, like it, which is a tricky one because it's kind of more metaphysical or mental, or, you know, when people talk about it, like how you take it. But you can't just say, like, you can't use adios because, I don't know, maybe somebody's studying Spanish to be moving to that area or something like that.
I said, Jesse, as you know, I'm Irish. You're Irish. We're Irish together.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you ever get a little offended, even if it's just a little bit, when St. Paddy's Day rolls around and you see all these people who are very much not Irish start popping on their leprechaun hats and, you know what I mean? Like, do you ever just kind of feel like, on a small scale, because I don't feel it too much, but there are times that I think to myself, like, that's kind of insulting that you're boiling down an entire, like, heritage to leprechauns and the color green.
Beer.
And
we
beer.
Had this conversation already.
Honestly, I don't. I look at it more of them, you know, celebrating.
But they're not
St. Patrick's Day like.
But are they really celebrating it, or did they just take certain things from it to justify their own personality? Man, you know what I mean?
Literally nothing about St. Patrick's Day is Irish. Like, I mean, you hear the people talking about, hey,
I don't drink and I'm Irish.
No, time out.
That is an offensive stereotype.
We had this exact conversation.
Okay.
Henders having flashbacks.
I am. PTSD. It's the exact same episode where we had the Harry Potter Wang conversation.
So that's please. Probably why Tanner knows, because he likely went back and listened to it recently.
Please don't,
talking about it.
Please don't refer to it as the Harry Potter Wang conversation. Like,
that's exactly what it was.
Please.
I mean, it's true. It was what it was.
Oh, God.
But anyway, no, like, I don't, because it's not, I don't think, most of what they're doing has nothing to do with Irish culture.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't really bother me even a little bit.
I don't know. Like I said,
how does that compare to like Cinco de Mayo?
I'm just gonna go around. I think it's the same way. I'm Irish shirt now. Every time I'm around Shannon.
Kiss me, I'm shit face.
Fuck you guys.
You're welcome, Jesse.
Fuck all of you. Again, just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's go. Let's read some comments real quick because I want to see the people that are owning up to it. Melissa, like me with the K-pop, yes. Yes, Melissa is a big fan of K-pop, but you never like try to speak Korean to me, so maybe not the same. David Dillon knows what I mean, of course. Mimi said it's a weak thing. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's referring to. Weeb thing. Okay, she clarified. Someone said Nani. Kill you. Kaiju has been adopted to be that category of monsters. Not to me. To me, giant monsters are just giant monsters. They're monsters. They're monsters.
And that's how language works. You just kind of have to deal with it, dog.
I will not.
Because there's a lot of words in English now that are based on... That's why the English language is so fucked up. And, you know, trying to learn it and everything is so hard for other people. Because, and that's why no rule... Not a single rule in the English language is universal. Every single rule in the English language is like, yeah, you do this, except for this one. Or here, 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 here. And that's because like the English language has adopted so many words from so many other languages.
Yeah,
because
other
languages have better words to describe certain things.
You would have to also acknowledge like there's American English and British English, just like the, you know, like when you consider like simplified and traditional Chinese, like different implications there. And here in America, we definitely love making shit up, especially words.
One of the arguments that I really like about like the English language and words in general, when somebody says like, that's not a word. And then you can just reply with, did you understand what I meant? Then it's a word.
Oh, I love that conversation back in junior high. When you say ain't's not a word. And I'm like, you know what it meant.
That still happens today.
I thought it stood for,
is that really? I thought that word got added to the dictionary.
Isn't ain't just short for ain't not?
Ain't a word.
And not.
Someone, have you seen the sport of kaiju wrestling? It's a spectacle. I actually have seen kaiju wrestling, and it's something. It's something.
What the hell?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's wrestlers who
dress up like monsters.
Oh, that sounds spectacular.
Yeah.
So it's a Rampage video game.
So did it have like the giant inflatable like T-Rexes and stuff?
There have been people that wrestled in that. I've seen that match before. I think
that
there's
would
also
be good. I've watched that.
I want to say Maria.
I would also watch that.
I think Maria showed me once. It was people that they do like actual sword combat. Like they have actual armor and they actually fight each other with like swords and shields in a ring.
I've seen that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous as hell.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that too. You know, that is dangerous. People get real messed up on it.
They get real fucked up. Yeah. I've seen some shit go south on that. It's fun though to watch.
So I took it upon myself to look up the origins of St. Patty's Day.
Oh,
Letterkenny told you the origins of St. Patty's Day.
High school should have told you the origins of St. Patty's Day.
Plus, I haven't seen that episode in a long time, Jesse.
Go on.
So, apparently, St. Patty's Day is celebrated on the anniversary of St. Patrick's death. And do you know how the Irish celebrate death?
I'm assuming with potatoes and liquor.
Yes. Well, yeah, kind of. It's celebrated with what's called an Irish wake, which is a giant festival of feasting and drinking. You go to church
lots
first thing in the morning.
Corned beef.
Bacon originally, but yeah, same idea.
There aren't any pigs in Ireland, Tanner. Saint Piglet scared them all away.
Anyway,
Saint Piglet.
So yeah, literally, St. Patty's Day is a day to celebrate with drinking.
And legally, you have to in Ireland. Like, if they catch you without alcohol, you will be thrown into one of their beautiful dungeon-like prisons.
You'll be arrested as a spy. You don't belong here. Who are you with?
Michaela said, literally, there's a girl in my grade that got on TikTok and sang along to a song that had the N-word in it, and she said it, and someone defended her, saying that it's just a word. I have a very big problem with that since she is white.
Yeah, white people don't get to say it's just a word.
Okay, yes. I'll leave it there. I agree. Like, and as someone that said the N-word more than once myself, because... I grew up, Kaz knows, Tanner knows, he was wearing a hat for the area. We all three of us grew up
currently.
Yeah, yeah. We grew up in a very black urban area, yeah. And all my friends were black. And maybe they tricked me into thinking that I could say the word because they said it. So we said it to each other. And it wasn't until years later when I got out of that urban area and I still said it casually because I'm like, no, it's fine. All my black friends said it's cool, that I realized it's not cool. So then Shannon stopped saying the word.
Look, yeah, I mean, the place I grew up also has a surprising percentage, like a surprisingly high black population percentage. And a lot of my friends were black. I still never said that word.
Well, I had a rap album out, so it was legal.
Is that Ill Mitch?
Neil Mitch couldn't say that word. He's from Russia. No, sir.
No, sir.
Mimi.
So I went to school in an area where I was out of 200 kids in the building, I was one of four white kids.
Did you just do that math just now?
No. No. Anyway.
That was so awkward.
I was on the basketball team. And it was literally one day you head into a basketball game, like at Fairfield or somewhere way off. And my friends are on the bus literally trying to get me. Just say it. Just say it one time. You're like, we're not going to get mad. Just say it one time. I'm like, nah, I'm good, man.
Oh, see, that's a stark contrast to me where I would just say it like I was handing out Tic Tacs. Because, like I said, all my friends were black. That's what we called each other. And I thought, well, it's cool. They said it's cool and they're black. So I got my street cred. But I also don't like that word. It's an ugly word. Not for me. Now I can say Mick because I'm Irish, so that's cool.
Or Mook.
Is it?
Tanner, are you Irish?
I am.
Jesse, they're just handing out Irish passports apparently, left and right.
I literally just told you guys like 2 weeks ago I found out I was Irish.
Yeah, but didn't you find out through like WebMD.com or something?
Man, you gotta have more than 50% to claim it.
Oh shit, you do? Off. Damn it. Alright, well I'm Native American now.
The only one Irish.
Lying son of a bitch, I'm Irish. Look at my name, it's Shannon. Anyway, getting back to the point, there are more important things to discuss here. There are more important... There's no wrong way to spell Shannon. All spellings of Shannon are Irish, god damn it.
I don't know, anytime you order a pizza, they got a pizza here for Sinan? Seaman?
No, you know I order all my pizzas. You know I order all my pizzas under the name of Rusty Shackelford.
Shackelford wants a pizza.
Lindsay, Mimi wants to know if you're drawing.
I held up my sketch pad.
Oh, you saw it? Okay. Coloring. Also, Jeremy Taylor did post in a kaiju wrestling match, and if you get a chance to watch it, it was something. Mimi said she was the complete opposite. She was one of five black people in her school. Yeah. Yeah.
Jackson is.
Go ahead.
Jackson is a white ass school. I'm just going to say that.
I still remember the day that, and I'm not going to say any names because I know Kaz would know these people. Tanner might know them, but I'm not going to say names. I'm not putting anybody on front street, but I remember the day.
Very likely I do.
I was in gym and we were running track. Yes, I ran track once. And I'm running
once.
It was one time, and then oh shit, Cass bailed out. He didn't want to talk about it. I was running track with my black friends, and this group of white kids, again, not gonna say names, they called me over, and I was kind of friends with them. So I go over there, and they said, you know, like, how can you run with them? How can you hang out with them? And I thought they were talking about these specific people, and I was like, well, who are you talking about? And they said the N-word. And I remember I just stared, my mouth dropped open, because that's the first time I had ever heard someone be racist. And so like I was shocked, and I did what any respectable person would do. I went and told all my black friends they had said it. And then you can imagine what happened next. Pier 1 brawl. Yeah. So
anyway. That reminds me of a basketball game I was playing in. I want to say it was in Benton, Illinois. For anybody who's not from the area, Benton is probably the second most racist town in Southern Illinois.
And oh, yeah, the first one has an acronym. The first one,
We're not going to talk about it.
It's a real contest in Illinois to see who can be the most racist. It's a
badge of honor.
Kaz did. He went to California to get away from it. Yeah.
I was like, fuck this shit. I went to California.
Fuck this shit. I'm out.
There's three towns. It's like Anna, Gorville, Benton. And it's just, it gets worse as you go up.
Hey, Lindsay, you know what Anna stands for, right?
No.
It stands for.
And you don't need to tell me.
Fix it again. Tony. Dale, that's a Fiat.
Fiat.
Thank God for bad internet connections.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm playing basketball in Benton, and my dad worked for the National Guard for 30 plus years. And I'm in the middle of this game, and we're going. I had just committed a foul, so the guy who I fouled was going to shoot free throws. So I'm at the bottom of the key for the free throw lineup. And the referee looks at me. He goes, "Are you so-and-so's kid?" I said, "Yes, sir." Surprised how he knows me. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I used to work with your dad at the – I used to come see your dad at the National Guard. I used to be in the National Guard." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool. And he just flat out asked me on the middle of this basketball floor, whistle in hand, referee shirt on, "I don't know how you play with all these N-words." My jaw dropped. My eyes went wide. And he accidentally got hit in the testicles with the basketball later on.
Okay, well, that was great. Good segue. We're going to move on away from the race and cultural stuff, and let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about GameStop stocks.
or how a group of internet nerds managed to bankrupt a hedge fund.
Institution?
Contract business? Institution?
No, I don't hedge remember. Fund. It is hedge fund, like hospital.
So basically, and first off, I know jack shit about Wall Street. I don't know anything about Wall Street or stocks. I'm not going to pretend I do. You're not going to see me stand up here and try to explain to you what's going on. I don't know. All I know is that from what I've gathered, that a group of people on Reddit have basically inflated the stock for GameStop so much that it squeezed out a bunch of these hedge fund people who have now lost billions on the stocks. And
yeah, because it was something like that particular hedge fund group was supposed to maintain a certain share of GameStop stock. So they had to buy all of the stuff that was moving, 140% or something like that of the available stock.
It's a thing called options, which over the last year, the fact that casinos have been closed and horse tracks and sports centers that people need, the bettors, especially gamblers, have turned to the stock market, especially with the oncoming of Robinhood, which got rid of commission fees, which usually was kind of that stopgap that kept people, normal Joes like us, from just throwing money at stock market, at going to a store and buying a stock like you would eBay or something. Anyway, like that's the usual way. Robinhood kind of democratized that. And what ended up happening was they, in this group on Reddit called Wall Street Bets, it's a whole bunch of people that are especially gamblers and with nerves of steel. If anybody here have watched this board at all, these are people that are willing to lose like $500,000 in a go. And that they kind of like get off of. Yeah. But that also, it also mints millionaires overnight. And what ended up happening is Robinhood in essence democratized stock market so people can then invest in. And all of these people got together, and there's a thing called options. Normally you go and just buy a stock, just like a store, but you can also bet on a stock. So you bet that by the end of this week or by the end of a particular duration of time, a stock will be either more or less than what it is. And if you're correct, then you pay the lesser of that two, and the person owes the more of those two. And what ended up happening is the hedge funds looked at GameStop as a kind of blockbuster. It's a guaranteed go down because it's not a viable market. It's not a valuable tool. which the stock market used to be based upon. Mm-hmm. Speculation, however, is what valuation is based upon with the stock market today. So what happened is these people saw the hedge fund release their record that said they're betting that GameStop is going to be less by the end of this week or by this particular day, which is tomorrow. And what the Wall Street Bets group did is they, in essence, it became viral. They kind of grouped together on a private group, on a public group that has millions of people that are on Robinhood and know how this shit works. And they actually started buying up stocks with increased the value in a complete like attack on hedge funders, which who usually use this tactic against us as the people with our 401ks and whatnot. So what in essence has happened is the people kind of like shot back at the hedge funders, and they have lost a shit ton of money. And as of this morning, they actually stopped allowing people to buy AMC and BlackBerry, GameStop,
Nokia. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Robinhood is specifically, David mentioned that they took that democracy away because basically what happened is a group of Redditors beat them at their own game. So they took their ball home.
Yeah.
Yep. And now class action lawsuits just hit the pavement and exploded.
I sent a letter that a congressman sent to the attorney general about this, about them shutting off GameStop and AMC. But just like to give you an example of what happened, AMC, my cousin got in on this stuff, and he's basically, he put $500 into one stock. I don't know what it was, but in less than 2 days, he doubled his money.
Yeah, Bob, well, too.
There was a guy for GameStop that he posted to Wall Street Bets. He took out a mortgage on his house and bought $200,000 worth of stock on GameStop.
Ooh.
And became a millionaire.
I think when all this started, GameStop stock was at like $10 a share.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like that. $4 or $5, yeah.
They knew by banding together they would raise the value.
And then it jumped up to $364 or something like that a share. Yeah.
It's up 1,600%. 1,600% until today when they decided to take the option away for buying it, which I actually saw a video, and I meant to pull it up and let you guys hear it. It was Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC explaining why they did that, that it's not necessarily that they were trying to take the power from people to stop them from betting, but it's the fact that the purchasing of the stock has gone so crazy that they are now over the percentage of available stock. So they can't let people keep buying stock that doesn't exist. So they basically
don't let them sell either.
No, you can sell.
Obviously.
You can sell, you just can't buy.
Well, if you can't buy, how can you sell?
I don't know. Jesse, I don't make the rules.
There was also the speculation too, because a lot of these things aren't purchased on the spot. That's what I was saying a while ago about the options, is they also purchase futures, which is the expectation of rise or fall. So that takes the percentage beyond just the what's available to what is potentially available. And they took away their ability to do that.
David Dillo in the chat just posted a link to the complete, I'm assuming it says the complete moron's guide to this. It's really intricate and interesting. My biggest issue with it coming out of this is like, one, fuck the hedge funds, obviously. Like, the rich are so upset that they're losing money that it's like funny. And this is a cultural moment. This is a rebellion, is what this is. And it's interesting.
A real rebellion.
Right. And it's interesting to watch. And the fact that the Discord, which, that was the motherfucker of the week, was Discord. Because Discord, which we're using Discord, funny enough, Discord banned the Wall Street Bets Discord server today. They banned it. They took it down because they said it was because they couldn't stop the amount of hate speech and threats posted to it, which is just a bullshit reason. This is censorship. Again, it's censorship of the worst kind. I hate this. I do. This is the part that kind of bugs me the most, is the fact that, again, like everyone has said, the fact that so many rich people are losing money that they are now setting things in their favor. And, you know, it's obvious that Wall Street and these companies would rather protect the rich than the everyday citizen.
Something to keep in mind to that point is it's actually on two fronts. It wasn't just like the censorship or removing of the Discord. It was actually a systematic attack, because they actually had to remove public access to the Reddit forum today. So like I had joined it some time back and follow some of this stuff in the back and behind the stage. Mm-hmm. But at some point, they actually had to turn it private, because they went from like 3.4 million users to about four. They added another million users, not just to the Reddit board, but to the Discord. And as any of us know that have ran a forum or a blog or anything of that sort, you have moderators, and you only and it works like a company. You have a boss for a certain amount of people that you can handle. And at some point, it got out of hand, because it wasn't just curious people, because the market situation. It was also bad actors that came in, joined, and went buck wild with these crazy hate speech. And this did pervade across Discord and across the Reddit forums. And they were trying to keep that down. And that's what a big part of what dropped them in Discord, too, is because there was so much hate speech from these new actors that came in, and they couldn't kill it before, like they couldn't catch up the whole time. So I'm not defending Discord. I'm just saying that that's the kind of the full side of both sides of the coin.
It reminds me a lot of Parler, where there was so many people on Parler that were plotting these, you know, capital attacks and stuff like that. But I disagreed with them taking Parler off of stuff. Like, you can't, not everybody that was on Parler were domestic terrorists. There were a lot of just simply conservative people that wanted their echo chamber. And again, I have no problem with the echo chamber. If conservatives want to get together and talk shit about liberals, that's fine. I mean, that's absolutely fine. You have every right to do that. So I thought it was wrong to punish Parler so much for what a good chunk of people did, but still to censor everybody based on this one group. I very much disagree with that. And I feel like Discord's kind of doing the same thing. And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And in a couple weeks, I'm afraid of what's going to happen when this all stops. And in a way, Kaz, and especially because you seem to know a lot about this, and Jesse and Tanner and possibly Lindsay and Shelby, possibly. Because
I just listen and absorb.
Yeah, so Lindsay is not interested in Wall Street. I don't know about Shelby, but I don't think Lindsay's interested.
It was a real boring part of history class. That's the most I remember.
And yeah, also, again, Shannon, Parler, a big problem that they were having wasn't necessarily because of all the hate speech and everything. They violated AWS's terms of service by having such a vulnerable system, because they lost, remember, every single person's account information, all of their personal information, their IDs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot with why Parler was taken off of AWS's service.
Yeah, but the official, I'm pretty sure if I look up the official reason of why Parler was removed, it was because of the conspiracy theories and hate speech. I didn't read anywhere where it said the vulnerability of the server is what caused Parler to go down. No, Parler was banned from these places because of the conspiracy theories and the free speech. The vulnerability of their servers and their people that on it didn't take place until after the fact.
That is a big part of it. It is a symptom of the original cause. What Jesse's speaking to is a big part of it. Parler was a piss poorly programmed service. Like, the underlying foundation, the code that actually makes up Parler, is extremely simple, simplistic, and rudimentary. Yeah. So what ended up happening is they didn't have the mechanisms in place to be able to halt those situations when hate speech started to propagate across their system. And it grew so much faster than the original owners anticipated because of the various fires that blew up politically. So they did not have a product that was actually scalable to meet the standards that the government is going to understand, especially sociologically would understand. And so they couldn't suss out and remove that, because it was just a shit service in the first place.
It was.
Further to Jesse's point too, is it also had a lack of security, which if anybody in the tech industry, or if you even have any basic understanding of social media, is that security is a huge part of a company's foundational business plan. The code is a part of it. That's the product. The security is a part that keeps your ass like being able to stay in business. And that's what Facebook's always been dealing with. Parler did not have that. And like Equifax, whenever that big set situation happened, it just found a very easy access for somebody to go in and download everybody's personal vision. And then boom, it blew up. And then that's that, along with what you said, is why AWS, like Jesse said, just cut the cord.
Well, I think Parler was definitely a piss poor service. I mean, it felt like it was a indie startup with a Facebook level of interest. And like the two just don't seem to go very well together at all. Like they were so overwhelmed trying to keep it going. And like, I'm not trying to defend Parler as in like, I'm a fan of Parler. I was not a fan of Parler. I didn't use it. But back to my original question, and Tanner's gone now, I think possibly for good. We may have banned him.
He'll certainly cut off.
Yeah.
Do you think, I'm trying to remember exactly what my point was. Do you think that there's a chance that this could blow up in people's faces? I had it in my head of something that happened recently where so many people jumped onto this and then lost a ton of money when it fell apart. And I, for the life of me, can't remember what it was now.
A lot of people on Wall Street Bets have lost a significant amount of money.
Yes. Mm. There are memes dedicated within that Reddit for people that just like, lost it all in a go.
The PlayStation thing is what I meant. Do you think like with all these people that bought up all of these PlayStation, you see the cost? I mean, it's still bullshit and it's still impossible, but the price of the PlayStation's gone down over the past couple of months. Like if you try to buy it on eBay, and they're predicting that within the next week, couple weeks, months, that the PlayStation will be more available. And then all of these people that took out loans and mortgages and stuff like that to purchase these PlayStations in bulk because they planned on flipping them are going to be stuck with them and it will ruin them financially. Do you think something like that could happen with this GameStop thing where these people are buying all of this stock up and pushing it and pushing it? And then when it falls apart, all these people are just going to lose their ass on it.
I mean, a lot of people will. Also,
that's part of the stock market, though.
The other thing with the PlayStation... And the reason this is significantly different and why scalping is such bullshit, those people don't hold on to them. Like, yeah, they'll take out their second mortgages and everything and they'll grab them to flip them. But the thing is, they always return it within the policy. It's a zero risks game. If they can't sell it before the return policy is up, they take it back to Best Buy or Walmart or wherever they bought it from. And they get their money back.
I don't think I've seen any stats on that, so I can't testify to the. I don't know anything about that. I'll be honest.
Talk to any group of scalpers, like that's how they do it. Like that's why there's no risk.
Well, okay,
you buy it, you flip it for double. If you can't get your money back, take it back to Walmart.
But a lot of the people that are buying the scalped PS5s, and fill me in because I seriously don't know. Not everyone, but a lot of people that are buying the PS5s. Are buying them. It's almost like third hand. You basically Walmart sells it to the scalper group, and then they sell it to individuals who then try to flip it. So can those people still return it, or are they stuck with them?
If you were dumb enough to pay scalper prices and hope to flip it higher, then yeah, you're out your ass. Like that was a stupid move.
Kaz is laughing. I think he also thinks it's a stupid move.
I agree. Yeah. Most scalpers
buy from retailers and then they just go back with their receipt in hand.
Right.
It's literally like you're talking about investments, like what we just came off of, stocks. It's kind of the same thing. They just saw PS5
as being
a very high value cost. And then the people that bought it for $800 are like the people that just bought Bitcoin for $40,000. Right. You know, it's like, I mean, it'll eventually probably someday be worth more. But in the now, that's a lot of loss.
I think people, they're trying to take advantage of the situation. A lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon. And I think a lot of people that are jumping on the bandwagon don't know what they're doing. And they're really risking their mm-hmm. lives on this.
They just want a supposed easy way to make money rather than actually working their asses off like most of us do.
I would also
say that's how a lot of the rich people get real rich.
That's how the rich get richer, is by exploiting other people.
I was thinking about this the other day, like some of the underlying things you don't think about. If all these scalpers purchased all of these Series X's and PS5's like out of the gate, then that also reduces the amount of people that actually have one, thus also reducing the amount of people who are purchasing the game specifically for these. Mm. So it's kind of like if you think about the ground foundational problems, think about that cycle that actually hurts Microsoft and Sony as far as, and these studios that are trying to make money to fund their next game because they're not getting the funding to actually do the next game. So you end up with shit like Cyberpunk.
Hey, easy. I still like Cyberpunk.
I did it. I said it.
I still like Cyberpunk. But in fact, the opening song tonight was from Cyberpunk. So
I don't think Cyberpunk's problem was funding.
No, it wasn't. No. There was a lot of shit. But my point being is like, think about how that cyclical problem happens from the scalpers that are fucking the market.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The attach rate for video games for systems is significantly low this console cycle because the people that are buying the systems originally and flipping them aren't buying games to go with it. They're just buying the systems to flip. Sure. But
GameStop's worth $350.
We are so beyond like time on these segments. So real quick, one last thing I want to mention before we get to the fun topic of the night. I doth bit my tongue. Ow.
Good job.
And you can see it. And you could see it is David. No, look, Cyberpunk's got problems. I get it. But I really feel like Cyberpunk's got a bad rap. No, God, I don't even know how to defend it because they flat out lied to people. But at the same time, if you play the game and can run it, there is a lot of love and work and like they built something really incredible with that game. I really feel like they did. It's just
do not represent the people that work on it.
Right. Okay, let's leave it at that.
Like your executives, the executives don't represent the workers that worked on the game. There's a lot of love that went into it.
And, you know, from the art style to the music to the characters, like there's so much good about that game. It's just a shame that it's wrapped inside of this awful thing that CD Projekt Red did, you know? Anyway,
I don't mean to kick this can, but David Dale makes a good point. Like, I'm happy to pay for it once they fix it, which is actually an interesting concept. If you think about, I forget the name of it, but that planet game where you're on like an astronaut,
No Man's Sky. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was a shit show when that first came out. And
so
then
was Fallout 76.
And it's built these cult followings after the fact. Here, the names keep coming. Maybe someday Cyberpunk will be a part of those names.
And Jesse, what is Shannon's history with games like Battlefront 2 and Fallout 76? He played them from the beginning and defended them. So, of course, he's going to do it for Cyberpunk 2. You know, it's Shannon's an abusive relationship with toxic games is what it is.
In fairness, like those games eventually fix themselves. It's not like you stuck around with Anthem.
Well, okay. Cyberpunk, or for me... And again, I don't want to be that guy. For me, I play Cyberpunk on the Series X. I've had the game crash on me like 2 or 3 times. I've had Call of Duty Black Ops crash on me more. By far. Cyberpunk has worked perfectly fine for me. The worst I can say about Cyberpunk is that I find some of the mission structure to be a little boring. But... that's not a technical issue. That's how they designed the game. I paid for the game. That's what I got. But I don't know what it's like to be some of the people that bought it on PS4 and Xbox One original that literally can't play the game. You know, that the game that they were lied to by CD Projekt Red. So I have a very skewed view on it. I almost want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, I recognize what a shit thing they did. So I feel like I'm in a tough position with this one. Like, I want to defend it because I do think it's a work of art. And I think that it's good. But at the same time, I can't defend it because the practice was so bad. But yes. Yes, David, I know it's very specific. I said that. David's riding my ass tonight.
It's because you keep saying wrong things.
I am not saying wrong things. I'm just stating my opinion.
Plenty of it here to contradict.
Let's see. I'm going to say it's much less stable on Xbox One, PS5, and not in any PC not running, which is 90% of users. Again, and I can't say what they're experiencing.
It's unplayable on Xbox One and PS4. Yeah, the Series X is weirdly, like, that's the best place to play Cyberpunk right now. Unless, like David mentioned, you have the AMD 57 or the 5000 series and 6000 series also works pretty well.
I did buy
what I understand.
I bought Cyberpunk briefly on PC because I wanted to switch over because I wanted to do mods and stuff. That's what I've done with, like, the Bethesda games and stuff like that. And I ran it on my PC, and I have a 2080 and a fairly decent rig, fairly decent. And I didn't have any problems with it. So I can't say what other people are experiencing, but I know it exists. So yeah, let's move on.
It also comes down to programming, because the flip side is Call of Duty actually works better on my OG X, like experience wise than the Xbox Series X. I've had less crashes just running Call of Duty.
Yeah, but you know, the people that made Call of Duty, they didn't present it as something that it was. They didn't say, you know, people have problems with Call of Duty, but you don't feel lied to. You just feel like, man, get your shit together. Whereas with Cyberpunk, true. I think a lot of people feel actually lied to. And to be fair, they were. So, mm-hmm. And they made that game for Xbox One and PS4. Like, that's what it was designed for. And it didn't work until you put it on a next-gen system. And then it works pretty good. That's baffling. All right. We don't have time to talk about the other thing. The other thing was going to be about this... what's her name? Cass, help me out. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Batshit crazy people don't need fucking airtime anyway. They got enough.
I'm just going to mention the fact that the Republican response to it has been so awful. But yeah,
they're twats. They're fucking morons as well too. So
there is so much more we can mine from that other than their twats. Just saying. But I don't even know how much time we've been doing this show because I don't have just the thing running. So, does anyone know how long we've been doing this show?
Hour 8.
I'm seeing at least an hour from when you opened this live.
Yeah, but we did like 30 minutes where we weren't actually doing the show. We were just talking to people.
I know.
So probably just under an hour then.
Probably about 45 minutes. So, we'll
6 years.
We'll talk about the green bitch in when we find out more about it. No, nobody wants to talk about politics on Horsemouth. Michaela, stay tuned to we'll do a show about it.
Yeah.
We'll do a show about it soon. We'll talk about it. All right. David said we're like 45 minutes. So let's get to the fun topic because I've rattled on enough about these things. Lindsay, what is the topic for tonight?
I mean, this is normal for Thursday. They should be used to this by now.
Yeah. But I feel like we went wrong. We went way harder on this one than we have in a while.
Well, I like a community that keeps you honest.
Fun topic, English, Lindsay, English, is five things in video games that drive you crazy. Be them boss fights, battles, elements within the games, tasks you have to do, just stuff that has driven you insane in a game.
Kaz, you didn't do your homework, did you?
Warcraft OG versions, whenever you had to go out and just kill the same fucking animal for hours in the barrel.
Go kill me 50 boars. No, go kill me 10 more.
Yeah, go kiss my ass because I want to get to the next damn level.
Drop what you need, and I want 20 of those.
Yeah, without the 100% drop rate, like that right. Always drives me nuts.
But to be fair,
bring me hog heads, and only every 5 will have a head.
But once
or giving really shitty people the opportunity to take your shit after spending an hour in a raid.
Once you do that, though, you just move on to the next area and the next level, which is just the same thing over again with a new name. That's the
it's
problem
a new
of
character. It's a different color.
The problem of MMOs, man. I've accepted at this point. MMOs are just a grind, and you just kind of enjoy the.
You got to enjoy the grind until you get up to the end game content.
And then you're just grinding something else. So.
For me, and you just go pet battle.
So who said that? Well, who was first? Was that Kaz first? Was that his first one?
Kaz, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
All right. We'll just
want to take that one before somebody can take it from him.
We'll just go in counter or in clockwise order. So let's go to Lindsay. She's next on the list.
I'm always last.
Yeah, but you're okay. Then we'll go counterclockwise. Let's go to.
I'll go next. That's fine. You're just mixing it up.
You've already stated your stance. We're gonna go the other way. So we're gonna go up to Shelby. Okay. Shelby. Assuming Shelby actually has a list.
I do. I have it. It's right here.
She's got it on a notepad, but it's over on her monitor.
Yeah, so I have to lean to see it. So, like, in any game where you have, like, open world exploration, except you have that really crappy camera that likes to get stuck in walls. I hate that so much.
Bad camera controls.
Bad cameras.
We need to go back to the Resident Evil days when the camera was fixed. And you control.
See, I like fixed cameras.
You controlled like a tank. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I hate when I'm over here and my camera's over here and I can't see what's happening.
You could always go back to the
Rocket League.
You could always go back to the Mario 64 days where, like, you didn't have a rotatable camera. You just hit a left or right button and the camera would shift. That was your options. Jesse, what about you?
I would have Resident Evil camera.
First one. Is going to be the pretty much any Legend of Zelda water temple, but very specifically Ocarina of Time's water temple. My little brother and I spent an absurd amount of time on that water temple, so much so that we ended up getting a strategy guide. And by the time we got to the water temple, we didn't realize that a page had been torn out
Oh no.
So we missed the exact same key that we had missed the first three times we had attempted it, sans guide. And what we didn't know is there's another key hidden at the very bottom of it. But for the longest time, we thought that if you went to the wrong door at the wrong time, you were just done. Congratulations, you cannot proceed in the game.
I've never played that game to that point, but I have heard nothing but awful things about that particular thing.
Fuck any that of their water temples.
Any of their water temples mm-hmm. have always been a nightmare.
All right, Tanner.
Fuck that water temple.
Mimi also hates the water temples. Really quick, we'll go over some of these in the group chat or in the Facebook chat. David Dillo says, overly complex and I needed unoptional tutorials. Yeah, that's irritating. Especially when they make you do it multiple times. Like, you create a new character, but you've been playing the game for 6 years, and they're like, let me tell you how the game works. I already know.
Stupid. Wow. You have to learn.
Wow. Yeah. Fucking wow with their new shit area. I like everything about that, except for the fact that it's like, press B to open up your bag.
And it says you can turn that off. Be sure to click it. Nope, it doesn't turn off.
It doesn't work. And I'm just like, bitch, I've been playing this game for over 10 years.
I know how to open my bag.
I know how to open the bag.
Yeah. But did you know you could look at your character sheet? You can hit C, and look at your character.
What I hate is that in that tutorial, especially when I got my heirloom armor, if I took some of my armor off and put other stuff on, or if I left something off, it would constantly say, you've got new armor to put on. Like, I don't want it. Keep it.
All you have to do is right click it to equip it. Hey, dumb.
Yeah, I know.
Right click it.
Don't care.
Also,
yeah, but I'm a notification seeker, so I can't deal with those fucking dots up there. So, like, I have to waste time to click through just to try and track that shit.
No, I do the same thing. Call of Duty drives me absolutely up a wall.
Also, old school gotcha games. Yeah, I hate gotcha games. GTA 5 is supposed to shoot. There's a very small dot, and I can't see it because it's small and it's red. I have bad vision. They need to make it bigger. old school Resident Evil, Blitzball, apparently. Oh, apparently everybody hates anything to do with water. Tanner, what do you got?
I'm going to follow Jesse's theme of Legend of Zelda and go with Link's Awakening. The fucking nightmare at the end of the game. I've been playing Link's Awakening since the game came out, and to this day, I still cannot beat the final nightmare.
Link's Awakening, was that Super Nintendo or was that Game Boy? That's Game Boy. Yeah.
Game Boy. But I mean, they came out with a.
Yeah, they redid it on the Switch. It's the one that has the super like neat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. The very cool, cute thing. Yeah.
And I still haven't finished it. I have
bought the Game Boy version. They actually did come out with a Super Nintendo version. And anytime it comes out digitally on a DS or anything like that, I always get it so I can try to beat this final nightmare, thinking, hey, I'm 30 now. Surely I can beat this.
It just gets worse.
I don't remember having trouble with the nightmare, but
Look, I've beaten every Zelda game I've ever played. Not that one.
I think my first pick. Mine is an all-in-one type thing. It's a vague one. It's a big one, but it's what, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I like to call it Nintendo difficulty. That was those old.
Old NES games.
Oh, 90% of NES games were like, it was so impossibly hard. And I guess it was because, you know, back in those days, you couldn't really afford a ton of games. So if you had a game, most of those games, if you played through them, only last a couple of hours. And you needed to stretch that shit out for weeks and months. So they just made it so impossibly difficult that you never could beat it. Like Ninja Turtles.
Always save, so you had to start back over again.
Right. Yeah. Like, again, I think Ninja Turtles is my favorite example because.
Final Fantasy.
Battletoads is another one. These games that
Battletoads is just ridiculous.
They were so impossibly hard that you never could beat them in one setting. I couldn't beat a lot of these until save states came out on emulators. They were just
save states made those NES games way easier.
But my question would be to the developers. I'd like to talk to them and ask them, like, who did you make this game for? Did you make it for a kid? Because man. You really hated children. Like, fuck you, kids.
I'm still terrible at them, to be fair, but, like, I was awful at them.
I was better at them than I am now. Now I'm, like, I'm arrogant, like Tanner said. I'm like, oh, watch me tear this water level apart on Ninja Turtles. I'll find these bombs. And then I'm 30 seconds later, I'm
You're
curled
dead
up.
By the first strand of a seaweed.
I'm sucking on my thumb. Yeah.
That Battletoads, level we all just kept taking turns trying to beat at the store last time we played it.
The bike level?
Yeah.
Lindsay, what about you?
My first one is going to be from Pokemon Black and White, the electric gym with Alisa and her stupid Emolgas and that damn Volt Switch attack. And she is the first gym leader. I think it took me 5 times to finally beat her. Like, she is my Whitney. Like, I didn't have problems with Whitney, but I had problems with Alisa.
I don't know who Whitney is either.
There's some Pokemon fans out there that are like, preach, sister. And then all of us in here are like,
in a minute, I promise you.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I know I'm, of all of us, I am the Pokemon master that plays all the games and whatnot.
Oh, Jesse, but... the queen. Let's go ahead and put your crown on. Everybody.
Wait, I got to ask first.
The queen.
Oh,
the queen. The queen.
Lindsay, I got to ask. Are you going to talk about Whitney?
I wasn't going to, so if you want to take her, like, honestly, I didn't play Gold and Silver when it originally came out. That's when I first, like, fell out of Pokemon. And by the time I played Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I'm like, okay, she's normal types. Take a fighting type in there and you're fine. So I just didn't have that issue, but it was those stupid two Emolga. And they would attack and go back in the ball. So, like, you wouldn't get any damage on them right away. And I just, where she was placement-wise, I was just getting my butt handed to me.
Mm. All right, Kaz, what you got next?
As what? Oh, a new, another
option. Son of a bitch.
That's, Lindsay actually brought it up while ago, was the saving thing. That was a big one. Which actually I want to note, I bring it up only because I saw in the chat board here, Dillo actually had a really good point. A lot of those early games, why would you have save when they were built for arcades?
Well, yeah, but not all of them. Like, Battletoads was an arcade game, but the Battletoads game that was an arcade, completely different from the Nintendo version. Ninja Turtles, completely different from the arcade. They were built specifically for Nintendo, and I'm sure they were built specifically to fuck kids over.
Yes.
And to be fair, fuck kids. All right, so what?
Skip me for a moment and come back to me. I'll have a good one.
Well, you already said one. You said saves. Saves is a good one.
Yeah, so it'll come back around.
It'll come back around.
Right, that's exactly how it goes.
Okay.
People back around again.
Shelbs.
Six.
So Banjo-Kazooie is one of my favorite games. But the one thing I absolutely hated was that final boss battle with Gruntilda, where it was just a quiz show. Like, you just had to answer all the things and, like...
Very anticlimactic.
Yeah, right? Why was every other mini-boss battle actually hard and challenging to a degree, and Freezy Peaks was just a nightmare of an entire level, but the actual, like, final boss was just... Do you remember what toothpaste I like to use?
The face she made.
Actually, that sounds kind of neat.
Shut up, Shannon. It was awful.
That sounds kind of neat. All right. Jesse, what about you?
All right. My next one, and Tanner will know what I'm talking about here. When you can't swim in a game and instead just die. all right. So the very first Assassin's Creed game, I actually quit playing because you get to this part where there's these docks and you have to jump on these, like, poles sticking out of the water, and if you jump just slightly the wrong way, you land in the water and you immediately die.
Yeah.
This
you
is
can,
the
you can step in a puddle and die in this fucking game.
This is the baddest motherfucker to ever exist.
And he can't swim.
He gets the water, he's done.
He's allergic to water. That's the problem.
Funny thing about that one, Jesse, if you go look at the game manual from inside the book, the case, which is supposedly written by Abstergo for tips on how to use the Animus. They actually say the reason why you can't swim is because they have a glitch in that operating system of the Animus.
Get your shit together, Abstergo.
So it pissed me off so much that I quit playing the game and I YouTubed the ending.
Oh no!
I was like, nah, fuck this, I'm out. I spent like an hour falling into water. I was like, no, because the controls aren't good enough for that kind of punishment.
It is so the first one's like so glitchy, you'll be trying to climb something, and he just won't grab it because you're like a hair away from what he needs to grab. And so
but it looks like on the screen, it looks fine.
You're like right there.
Yeah. Now fuck that game.
All right. All right, Tanner, you're next.
I'm going to go with, since we talked about it already, fucking Whitney from Goldenrod City in Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Milk and Tank and that fucking rollout Milk attack. Tank.
So, funny enough. Gold and Silver? Yeah, I said Gold Silver.
I don't think so.
Whitney with her Milk
is
Tank?
In Gen 2.
Yeah, she's in Goldenrod City. The same city with the Rare Tire.
Shit, I never had a problem with her.
That's why I said I don't remember the battle, but people like Whitney kicked people's asses.
So, I heard people always complaining about it, but I thought the Mill Tank, because the Mill Tank is what people complain about with the rollout. Mm-hmm. I thought that was in another game.
Mm-mm. So, and this, funny enough, this gets brought up because I literally shared this meme with my cousins this morning, and it's the Peter Griffin panel from You Know What Really Grinds My Gears? Whitney's Mill Tank. You beat the first two Johto Gym leaders, hardly break a sweat, get to Goldenrod City, so hey, a normal type gym, this will be a cakewalk. You take out her Clefairy, no problem. You think, wow, I'm already halfway to earning this badge. Then, bam, she sends out the damn Mill Tank and casually proceeds to roll out all over your party like a freaking Autobot. Personally, I hope you and your bovine whore of a Pokemon drop dead of mad cow disease.
Yeah, I never had a problem with that. I played through Gold and Silver so many times.
That is the only gym I ever had a problem with in that game.
Jeez.
Oh, dude, you just don't know. Like, Mill Tank just showed up in Pokemon Go for this area, and I about had a come apart.
A come apart?
I hate that fucking Pokemon.
Huh. Some anger there. Some literal viciousness. If I got to pick one next, WWF No Mercy, Nintendo 64. Arguably the greatest wrestling game of all time, but it had...
Even the best wrestling game at that generation.
What do you think it was?
WCW and NWO Revenge.
See, I agree with you. Like, I agree. The only thing that game didn't have was a creative character. If it would have had that, it had an edit character. You couldn't change their moves, but you could change their name and their like clothing. It wasn't until
their appearance too.
You couldn't change their face or anything. Like they were.
Let's be fair. How much face changing could you really do on the N64?
But point is that
a pointy face or a square face?
A legitimate creative wrestler feature didn't come out until I think it was either WrestleMania 2000 or No Mercy. I think it was 2000. But point is, No Mercy, arguably the best wrestling game of all time to a lot of people, had a game-breaking bug where when you did the story mode for your created characters, sometimes the game would reset all your progress. And you had no idea when it would happen, or I had no idea why it would happen. But literally, I remember the first time I was playing, and I put a, you know me, Lindsay, especially, I put a ton of time into my created characters and wrestlers. I spend
hours and then still tweak it days later.
That's my favorite thing about a lot of video games is the creation suite. So I made a lot of characters. I spent a lot of time buying stuff and moves and stuff. And then one day, as I'm coming out from my match, my character is the default model, bald, no gear. And I'm like, the hell is this? And that's when I found out that it will occasionally just erase your progress and there's nothing you can do to stop it. David knows. David's feeling me right now. That bug just killed my enjoyment for that game. And apparently, I didn't know at the time because I didn't have internet, but you could return that game and get a working copy because it was a wide bug. Like, it happened to everybody. But I never got to do that. So my copy was always cursed and I just kind of stopped playing it.
That sucks.
It sucks. Fuck that. Lindsay.
My next one is one that made me quit and never finished a game that I was actually enjoying. The original Trauma Center game, where when you're supposed to be doing surgery, they have you defuse a bomb, and I could not get it defused and get past it.
I remember this.
Shannon could not defuse it and get past it, because I got so angry I handed it to him and said, defuse this bomb, and he's like, wait, what? But yeah, no, I'm really angry because I wanted to finish playing that game, and now you can't even find that game anywhere without paying an arm and a leg.
Melissa, that's true, by the way. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I remember the frustration you had with that. And you played it.
And I really liked that game a lot, especially on the DS version, because, yeah, it was annoying that you had to do, like, the little star thing. But with the stylus, I'm good. I can do it on this. You switch it over to the Wii, and I'm like, I'm not drawing this line right, like, at all. They kind of made it up to me with Trauma Team. I finished that game completely, but I wanted to play the DS one, and I didn't because of the stupid bomb.
Somebody set up us the bomb. Oh no, Kaz.
Lack of local multiplayer games, like actually, like sitting, like I have a friend that's a real person beside me. Yes.
Stop
like,
assuming I don't have friends in real life.
Like there's some good, there's a few good ones on, you know, Xbox, like Rocket League is a good one. The bug, what
is it? Borderlands.
Borderlands, yeah. You guys are talking like more of the upper scale games. I mean, like more the, not necessarily party, but like local shooters or local like racing games, whatnot.
Borderlands is a shooter.
True.
But I think a big part of it is because they're kind of like having to render two separate games at once. So they probably hit their peak on some of the things. Like I know, like Call of Duty stopped allowing for local multiplayer for a couple of iterations,
and they can sell more copies this way.
Well, truth. If local multiplayer is like it is now, like you talk about Call of Duty, Maria and I, you know, me and you and Jesse and Tanner, we would play Prop Hunt sometimes, begrudgingly for Tanner because he just wouldn't have any fun with it. Neither was Asa, apparently. We had fun with it, but I don't know if you guys ever saw how bad the rendering was for the split screen. Like, there were times when Maria and I would start a match and we couldn't even see the characters. We just saw guns floating in the air. And sometimes we didn't even see that. Everybody was invisible. And that was every match. Like, that wasn't just a once in a while bug. That was every match. So maybe there's a reason they don't do couch co-op anymore. The technology's just not there to match something that they did 20 years ago. You know?
True. Yeah. But like Jesse said, you got to buy extra, like, another console to do it for some of these games.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it works better, unfortunately. It just does. All right, Shelby.
Probably when I was playing Oblivion from the Elder Scrolls series, there was such bad asset loading that a bunch of my main quest givers would die because they would fall through like the floor that didn't load. It was just a giant yellow triangle with an exclamation point like, whoops, sorry. And I'm like, well, I'm stuck here forever. God damn it.
I find those bugs to be funny sometimes, though. Like, Bob was playing, I think we were playing Saints Row together, and we were actually doing local co-op cast. We actually had our systems linked together. And he was in it was like an underground fighting thing. And when he got in there to fight, his character just fell through the floor and continued to fall for eternity. And we had to turn the game off because he just fell into the black void of the abyss and could never get out.
Still remember with Fallout 76, Shannon talking about like how he didn't really have any problems with the game at all.
Oh, it was like one or two or three times. Come on.
And then he turned it on and he immediately fell through the world. And it's like, yeah, that usually happens when I turn it on. I just have to restart it and it works.
But
it's like, that's a huge problem.
But no, Jesse, it wasn't Fallout's fault. I mouthed off too much. It was just, it loves me. It tells me it loves me.
No.
Bob was also playing World of Warcraft back when Bob did play World of Warcraft, and he fell. We were in Stormwind, and he fell through the ground in Stormwind and ended up in a dungeon on like another continent. And he was like, "What the fuck just happened? How did I get here?" I love those bugs.
My last night was the internet's fault when I was like mid-flight path and I lost my connection and when I logged back in, I'm just in the middle of the sky. Boom!
To go back to one thing I said.
Equip the glider.
I didn't have a glider.
Talking about the guns in the air when we couldn't see characters when we loaded up, Maria pointed out in the chat, and I do want to mention how much fun it was though to watch Kaz when he would do his going crazy with his mouse and stuff, but you couldn't see his characters. You just saw a gun spinning around crazy in the air, shooting everywhere. That was a lot of fun. Jesse, what's your next one?
Breakdance moment.
It's breakdancing.
All right, my next one is going to be any kind of like time-gated content. So like any game, like a mobile game you jump into, where it's like, all right, you have like this amount of stuff you can play, and then you have to wait for your power or energy to refresh,
or
you can drop money in it and keep playing.
Yeah.
That's an immediate uninstall for me. I don't care how fucking fun Clash of Kings is or Clans, what the fuck ever. If I have to pay for this energy bullshit to play the fucking game, I'm out.
I don't think I've ever seen a mobile game that I thought was legitimately fun.
I've been real addicted to this Marvel Puzzle Quest game
for a long fucking time.
I can confirm.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's some other really fun ones, like Fire Emblem Heroes ended up being really fun. It has that same kind of system, but I never ran out of, like, I never had a problem where I couldn't play because I, like, didn't have resources or whatever.
Dota is a good one.
Like, there was a baseball game I used to play all the time.
Among Us is technically a mobile game.
It's true.
I do play that, yeah.
Tanner?
Yes.
Okay.
The beginning of Skyrim. Just the beginning.
You don't
you're awake.
Like whenever he doesn't spawn, the dragon doesn't show up.
No. Just the beginning sequence of Skyrim. Just period. Like no glitches. It just works.
Is it just because you've gone through it so many times?
So many times. And let me tell you, when it came out on Xbox One with the mods, I was so happy when someone finally put one on there where you could pick where you begin.
The alternate start mods, yeah.
So I've started where I'm a, I'm not a Thane for anyone yet, but I already had a house, and it was like really lavish and built up and all kinds of stuff. That's the only mod I really use outside of some armor just for fun.
I like to do the sex mods.
Of course you do.
Well, he really likes those they run around naked.
No, that's too far. One time I legitimately I download a ton of mods, and I did download one that I don't remember what it was called, but what I got was completely different. And I remember, and the only reason I know I didn't mean to download it is because I did it right in front of Lindsay, and I'm playing Fallout New Vegas, and there's like this chat option that I was like, well, that's a weird chat option. So I clicked it, and then it just goes right into like a pornographic sex scene between my character and that. And Lindsay like looks over, and I'm just like red faced, and I'm like, I don't know what I did. I'm sorry.
That wasn't me.
I'm ashamed of myself. I am.
My favorite one from Skyrim though is anytime I sneak up behind somebody and kill them, it just goes surprise, motherfucker.
You're breaking my immersion, man.
Oh, no, you should really see it when I hit a dragon with a Kamehameha. Double-handed magic.
I had a fun one, but I don't know if we're going to go all five, because I think at this point we are now over on time quite a bit. So if I can, let's just say if I could only do one more, if this is the last one, one of my least favorite things and elements of video games that I hate is the community. It's just like wrestling. I hate the video game community. Not all of them, but goddamn, it's so hard to find a more toxic community than some people that play video games. The rage quitters, the people that are good at the game and still rage at it. I won't name names. The people that are just, Tanner knows. Everyone here knows for the most part. The community in video games is just god awful. Like it's
why I quit League of Legends.
Yeah, I remember playing League of Legends with you that one time, and them trying to like obliterate my soul because I was new to it. You know,
Baron's chat.
That's still a story I tell people sometimes
story.
Yeah, like whenever I talk about Shannon's first trip or foray into League of Legends, when I'm trying to get him into it, it's like, well, nope, never mind.
Thank God
Shannon
we were
never played with me again.
Thank God we were good at Heroes of the Storm. Then,
Heroes of the Storm.
Then we were the toxic ones. Hey, you fucking noob, get better. Don't pick that character. You can't play them. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
My next one I have ranted about numerous times while playing the game on the podcast. Freaking Runmaru. Pokemon Conquest, specifically the side after game, all grown up. It's where you are basically doing the conquest, but as like the second in commands or the helpers or whatnot, because the version I'm doing, I picked Gracia, and it's down to literally just me and Runmaru, and his stupid Dragonair is so overpowered that he destroys my team to the point that only my one most powerful one is left, and he's still got like five that I have to defeat.
Can't confirm, that game upsets her very much.
And, like, I'll be down to where he only has two territories and I have all of the other ones, and he just slowly starts taking them back because of that stupid Dragonair. I hate him. I hate Runmaru.
She really does. The hate is real.
Ciro is here.
Ciro!
What up, Ciro?
Ciro's my hero. I also, oh shit, I promised Zane that I'd talk more about the Godzilla trailer in the movie tonight. Oops.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Stay tuned tomorrow for an all new horse shit here on the Podzilla 1985 network.
Boy, that name keeps getting worse.
Did yeah. you see, I did a podcast last night. I was on the Four Sides podcast with Caleb Carter, and I put in the Call of Duty chat. They really like Horse Time.
I'm about halfway through their episode. I had to keep stopping, so.
Horse Time is the best for them. And that's why I'm excited to announce that myself and Kaz and Double H have created a new group within the Podzilla group. If you're wrestling, you know about like the Elite, which is, you know, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and those guys. Well, within the Podzilla 1985 group, Kaz, myself, and Double H are now known as the Stallion Battalion.
I'm weirdly jealous.
Stallion Battalion.
That's Hunter's fault.
Yeah, it is. Hunter's the one that came up with that one. All right, real quick, let's rapid fire him off because let's make it very fast. Kaz, you got any more you want to complain about real quick?
Lack of exploratory like prizes. Like Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild is awesome, but if you get underwater breathing and WoW, you just kind of go forever for nothing.
That irritates me too. Like, and it's really bad in games like Red Dead Online's not so as bad as the original Red Dead, obviously, or even GTA 5. There's all this place to explore, especially underwater in GTA 5. You even get a submarine in some spots, but there's nothing there. It's just
no
empty.
Payoff.
No payoff to it. There's no reason to explore. You got any other ones? Is that the only one?
Unskippable cutscenes.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, don't do that. Then you just took out 90% of the order.
Especially unskippable cutscenes.
You're playing it twice?
That like happen after you respawn.
Like Borderlands 3.
I've seen some bitch already 5 times because I can't get past this boss. Quit showing me this shit.
I started Borderlands 3 and decided after I did the initial beginning, I thought I'd rather play this different class. So I restarted as a different character and I had to watch the entire cutscene again. Could not skip it. So I quit the game. That's actually when I quit the game because I didn't want to watch that fucking stupid cutscene again. Like, why would you ever make cutscenes unskippable? That makes no sense.
Especially when they're like right after a checkpoint.
Yep.
Like, make your checkpoint after the cutscene.
Right.
For the love of Christ.
Right. Shelbu.
Invisible barriers that shouldn't be there in general. And any buggy collection style game where it's like, in order to get 100%, you got to collect it all. But you already collected it all. It doesn't register.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it turns out Assassin's Creed is just a big ball of bullshit. Tanner, something's wrong with your finger. It's stuck in the it's stuck in the upright position. Jesse, what about you? Give me two.
Real quick, Tanner, I propose we make a group. We will call ourselves the Bucket Bunch.
Tanner left. He's out. He's out. That joke works. That works so much better when there's video.
Oh, that broke Lindsay real hard too.
I wasn't expecting it. I mean, I could have, but I didn't.
The Bucket Bunch.
Oh.
All right. So my actual stuff though. Open world games that don't have fast travel. Fuck that.
Well, you don't enjoy the scenery.
I rarely do. I rarely do. And then Super Smash Brothers Brawl, the one for the Wii. I absolutely loved that game and I loved playing it. But Sakurai decided to put tripping into the game because he didn't like the fact that it had become competitive. Fuck that. I lost a tournament. I had it like I had the game. I had the match won. Going to deliver the final blow. As I'm running up to the motherfucker, I trip. And I never played Brawl again.
To add to your fast travel.
No, you're pointing at me.
Yeah.
To add to your fast travel. So Assassin's Creed, especially the last three, have made it where you can't just fast travel to a town. or a specific location in the town. You can only fast travel to viewpoints, like where you go to the top of the tower. And,
that's not so bad.
I know it really sucks sometimes, because then like this morning, this afternoon, I was playing a mission where the closest viewpoint I could get to where I needed to go for the mission was still 2,000 meters from where I needed to be. So that means fast travel to it. Like, I was 13,000 meters from where I needed to be. Fast travel to the viewpoint, and then I still spent 15 minutes riding on a horse.
Did you like the view?
So, I did. Well, I got to see Stonehenge. That was pretty neat.
There you go. Tanner, give me two more.
Assassin's Creed's eavesdropping missions from the first one. Where you had to try to follow the target and eavesdrop, and if they see you, you get caught and you just start all over. And then Assassin's Creed 3's rope dart mechanics was just dumb.
Sounds like Assassin's Creed is just a big old ball of shit from what I'm hearing. Tanner, is your finger okay? It's stuck in the upright position again. I have an honorable mention that doesn't count, but elevator levels and side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just like, Jesus Christ, it was mandatory. That got irritating. My actual two are fighting game end bosses, because they're always the most ridiculously unfun fights ever. They're just so stupid hard. I remember once I got so mad. I actually asked Lindsay to leave the room because I was so mad at the fighting game.
You did.
I did.
He had already lost it like 10 times and was growling and starting to get angry. And this was like within like the first 2 years of me moving out here.
This is way before we knew what a Steven was.
And he's like, how about you just go to the other room for me, please? And I just hear him in the other room, like slamming stuff around and cursing.
I got so mad. This is the one time I've ever been truly ashamed of myself for getting mad at a video game. I got so mad, and this is so stupid. You guys are going to judge me. I got so mad, I bit the PSP.
I remember that.
I bit the PSP because I was so fucking pissed. And it was, if I remember correctly, I think it was King of Fighters on PSP. I got so mad. I bit the fucking PSP, and then I looked at the bite mark on the PSP and I went, well, that was stupid. Why did you do that? And my other one is stealth missions. I don't give a shit about stealth missions. Assassin's Creed, probably, but at least that game is built around it. I'm talking about games that are not stealth games.
If you give me a stealth mission in a Doom game, go fuck yourself.
And it happens all the time. Like, I'm trying to remember specific games that I've played where they break up, you know, the action with sneak around, and if you get spotted, you have to start everything over again.
Every fucking Call of Duty game ever.
Oh, I hate that. That's so irritating. Watch Dogs Legion did it a couple times, and I got through them okay because there are mechanics in it that I understood and I was fine with. But just, God, I hate when you are playing an action game or a role-playing game, like an RPG, and then it's but this is an entire stealth section. I fucking hate stealth. That's why I don't play Assassin's Creed. Plus, it's a shit game. All right, Lindsay.
My first one is more of an in hindsight
Bucket type Brigade.
Thing, because obviously I bit into the gimmick way too hard. But when a game forces you to at least buy a minimal side of extras in order to complete the game, like Skylanders, you don't have to buy all of them, but if you don't buy at least one of each elemental type, you can't fully complete the game. And then as the expansions come out, if you don't buy one elemental type of each of this new gimmick in the game, you can't complete the game. And that's part of what took me out of it originally, because I got tired of buying the figures as they got crappier and crappier looking.
Yes, Melissa, you know who she's talking about. That's the same Pat. Yeah. Sorry, Liz, I just need to point that out. And also,
No, it's all good.
David, I am not a big Metal Gear Solid fan.
Oh, also, okay. Shannon, it was the Bucket Bunch.
Bucket Bunch, I'm sorry.
I also did think Brigade, but Bunch was funnier.
So funny he quit. All right, Lindsay, what's your other one?
And then my other one, none of you have played it, but I know Mimi plays it, and she will understand. But once you get past the main game on Style Savvy, you get the same fucking customer in every three customers that wants the same goddamn item, but a different one. Bitch, I have sold you every single pair of bold pants that I have in every color. Stop coming in telling me you need bold pants.
We all just got quiet there. Oh, the anger, the rage.
That's
every time I log into it and be like, I'm going to go back and play my game again. The second one who walks in my door, hi, I'd like a bold pair of pants. Do you have anything? No, I don't. You already fucking bought them all.
That's just my customers now. Hey, do you have any PS3 controllers? No! For the 30th time! Stop calling me every day looking for PS3 controllers. Christ! No, I don't have Switches. Yes.
And I'm personally a little perturbed that in the last game they put out, they took out that you can't, like, do clothes for guys anymore. It's all just girls again. But that's minor.
Well, all right.
Mimi said, I'm streaming right now when no one can hear me. I think she meant to say screaming.
Screaming.
Unless Mimi also has her own podcast.
She did, in fact, mean to say screaming. It's the correction.
She corrected herself.
Maria, yes, we have Switch games. I have the same 4 Switch games that I've had for the past month. And no, I don't have PS5s. If you can't find a PS5 at Walmart, what the fuck makes you think you're going to find it at the local shop down the street from the bar? Fuck off. All right.
I apparently got pretty energetic there.
I'm done. Yeah, you get passionate sometimes. It's just the things you get passionate about are always weird.
No one else plays. I know.
Zero, we actually did have a Virtual Boy.
I think Matt Sin bought it. No, no, he didn't know. Because I gave Matt Sin my Virtual Boy as a thank you once. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Mimi's live on Twitch. Check her out. Hey, we might be live on Twitch soon.
Hey, yes, that is a hey thing.
Keep your eyes open and your ears open. Okay, we're going to get out of here because we are way over time on this one.
Completed my coloring page this time.
Hey, completed my coffee.
You always complete your coffee within like the first 10 minutes.
Congratulations,
my
man.
Water?
Yeah. Now I'm going to go grab a sweet, sweet Pepsi and go play some Call of Booty. Duty.
Mm-mm. I'm going to get on WoW and get Call revenge booty, on those booty? Gnomes that tried to kill me last night.
Gnomes suck. Hey, gnomes.
They literally shot me into the air over a place literally named Death's Door into 5 serpents that are actually my level when everything else has been lower level than me, and I had to actually fight them as opposed to just doing my area attack and killing them all.
Oh, listen to the 1%er over there, Jesse. Listen to the queen. Lindsay, put your crown back on one more time before we get off here. The queen, everybody. The queen of Pods of the 1985. Bow to her.
Get the queen wave, please.
Yeah, hit us with the... All right.
There it is. Okay.
That's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to get out of here. Now, we are going to be back tomorrow with an all new Lindsay, what time is it?
Horse mouth.
Good enough. All new horse face tomorrow here on the Podzilla 1985 network. And it's going to be me, Kaz, Hunter, who I have
I'm
a good
off,
authority
so
will be
I
there.
Can be on.
Maybe Tanner. We'll see. It's a whole stallion battalion. Is what it is. All right. That's tomorrow. Until then, guys, thank you for tuning in. We hope you guys had fun. Once again, if you're not joining us live, you're missing out on a great time because we're all very attractive and our facial mannerisms are very funny. That's if you're listening to this on the podcast, facebook.com/Podzilla1985 is the home for the live video right now until we move to whatever service we pick. We're the hottest free agent right now. YouTube's calling me constantly. Twitch is calling me constantly. Something called a Quibi was calling me for a little bit, but I think it died. We haven't decided where we're going, but we're going to go somewhere. But right now, facebook.com/Podzilla1985. You can watch the live videos and interact with us in the interactive fun zone. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow for Horse Mouth. Until then, Jesse, take us out.
Deuces.